When Jhansi fell seriously ill, she seemed to lose the will to hang on to life. The doctor held out little hope for her. Her friends seemed helpless. Was there nothing to be done?
At the top of a three-story brick building, Sue and Jhansi had their studio. Jhansi was familiar for Joanna. One was from Maine, the other from California. They had met at a cafe on 8th Street and found their tastes in art, chicory salad, and bishop sleeves so much in tune that the joint studio resulted. Chicory salad and bishop sleeves so much in tune that the joint studio resulted. That was in May. In November, a cold, unseen stranger, whom the doctors called pneumonia, stalked about the district, touching one here and there with his icy fingers. Jhansi was among his victims. She lay scarcely moving on her bed, looking through the small window at the blank side of the next brick house. One morning the busy doctor invited Sue into the hallway with a bushy grey eyebrow. "She has one chance in 10," he said, "and that chance is for her to want to live. Your little lady has made up her mind that she's not going to get well. Has she anything on her mind?"
She wanted to paint the Bay of Naples some day," said Sue.
"Paint? Bosh! Has she anything on her mind worth thinking about twice? A man, for instance."
"A man?" said Sue. "Is a man worth... But no, doctor, there is nothing of the kind."
"Well," said the doctor, "I will do all that science can accomplish. But whenever my patient begins to count the carriages in her funeral procession, I subtract 50% from the curative power of medicines." After the doctor had gone, Sue went into the workroom and cried. Then she marched into Jhansi's room with her drawing board, whistling a merry tune. Jhansi lay scarcely making a movement under the bedclothes, with her face toward the window. She was looking out and counting backward. 12, she said, and a little later, 11, and then 10, and 9, and then 8, and 7, almost together. Sue looked out of the window. What was there to count? There was only a bare, dreary yard to be seen, and the blank side of the brick house 20 feet away. An old, old ivy vine climbed halfway up the brick wall. The cold breath of autumn had blown away its leaves, leaving it almost bare.
6, said Jhansi in almost a whisper. "They're falling faster now. 3 days ago there were almost 100. It made my head ache to count them, but now it's easy. There goes another one. There are only 5 left now."
"5 what, dear?"
"Leaves, on the ivy vine. When the last one falls, I must go too. I've known that for 3 days. Didn't the doctor tell you?"
"Oh, I never heard of such nonsense. What have old ivy leaves to do with your getting well? Don't be so silly. Why, the doctor told me this morning that your chances for getting well real soon were 10 to 1. Try to take some soup now, and let Sudie go and buy port wine for her sick child."
"You needn't get any more wine," said Jhansi, keeping her eyes fixed out the window. "There goes another."
"No, I don't want any soup. That leaves just 4. I want to see the last one fall before it gets dark. Then I'll go too. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of thinking. I want to turn loose my hold on everything and go sailing down, down, just like one of those poor tired leaves."
"Try to sleep," said Sue. "I must call Behrman up to be my model for the old miner. I'll not be gone a minute. Old Behrman was a painter who lived on the ground floor beneath them. He was past 60 and had a long white beard curling down over his chest. Despite looking the part, Behrman was a failure in art. For 40 years he had been always about to paint a masterpiece, but had never yet begun it. He earned a little by serving as a model to those young artists who could not pay the price of a professional. He drank gin to excess and still talked of his coming masterpiece. For the rest, he was a fierce little old man who mocked terribly at softness in anyone and who regarded himself as guard dog to the two young artists in the studio above. Sue found Behrman smelling strongly of gin in his dimly lighted studio below. In one corner was a blank canvas on an easel that had been waiting there for 25 years to receive the first line of the masterpiece. She told him of Johnsy's fancy and how she feared she would indeed, light and fragile as a leaf herself, float away when her slight hold upon the world grew weaker. Old Behrman, with his red eyes plainly streaming, shouted his contempt for such foolish imaginings. "What?" he cried. "Are there people in the world foolish enough to die because leaves drop off from a vine? I have never heard of such a thing. Why do you allow such silly ideas to come into that head of hers? God, this is not a place in which one so good as Miss Johnsy should lie sick." Johnsy was sleeping when they went upstairs. Sue pulled the shade down and motioned Behrman into the other room. In there they peered out the window, fearfully, at the ivy vine. Then they looked at each other for a moment without speaking. A persistent cold rain was falling, mingled with snow. Behrman, in his old blue shirt, took his seat as the miner on an upturned kettle for a rock. When Sue awoke from an hour's sleep the next morning, she found Johnsy with dull, wide-open eyes staring at the drawn green shade. "Pull it up. I want to see," she ordered in a whisper. Wearily, Sue obeyed. But lo, after the beating rain and fierce wind that had endured through the night, there yet stood out against the brick wall one ivy leaf. It was the last on the vine. Still dark green near its stem, but with its edges coloured yellow, it hung bravely from a branch some 20 feet above the ground. "It is the last one," said Johnsy. "I thought it would surely fall during the night. I heard the wind. It will fall today, and I shall die at the same time." The day wore away, and even through the twilight they could see the lone ivy leaf clinging to its stem against the wall. And then, with the coming of the night, the north wind was again loosed. When it was light enough, Johnsy, the merciless, commanded that the shade be raised. The ivy leaf was still there. Johnsy lay for a long time looking at it, and then she called to Sue, who was stirring her chicken soup over the gas stove. "I've been a bad girl, Sudie," said Johnsy. "Something has made that last leaf stay there to show me how wicked I was. It is a sin to want to die. You may bring me a little soup now, and some milk with a little port in it, and... no, bring me a hand mirror first, and then pack some pillows about me, and I will sit up and watch you cook." An hour later she said, "Sudie, some day I hope to paint the Bay of Naples." The doctor came in the afternoon, and Sue had an excuse to go into the hallway as he left.
Even chances, said the doctor, taking Sue's thin, shaking hand in his. With good nursing, you'll win. And now I must see another case I have downstairs. Behrman. His name is some kind of an artist, I believe. Pneumonia, too. He's an old, weak man, and the attack is acute. There's no hope for him. But he goes to the hospital today to be made more comfortable. The next day, the doctor said to Sue, She's out of danger. You've won. The right food and care now, that's all. And that afternoon, Sue came to the bed where Johnsy lay and put one arm around her. I have something to tell you, White Mouse, she said. Mr. Behrman died of pneumonia today in the hospital. He was ill only 2 days. He was found on the morning of the first day in his room downstairs, helpless with pain. His shoes and clothing were wet through and icy cold. They couldn't imagine where he had been on such a terrible night. And then they found a lantern still lighted, and a ladder that had been dragged from its place, and some scattered brushes, and a palette with green and yellow colours mixed on it, and look out the window, dear, at the last ivy leaf on the wall. Didn't you wonder why it never fluttered or moved when the wind blew? Ah, darling, it's Behrman's masterpiece. He painted it there the night that the last leaf fell.
Brick.
Studio.
Chicory.
Salad.
Brick.
Studio.
Chicory.
Salad.
Bishop.
Sleeve. In tune.
Joint.
Pneumonia.
Stock.
Here and there.
Icy.
Victim.
Scarcely.
Hallway.
Bushy.
Eyebrow.
Bosh.
Carriage.
Subtract.
Curative.
Mary.
Bedclothes.
Backward.
Bear.
Dreary.
Ivy.
Vine.
In a whisper.
Nonsense.
Turn loose.
Minor.
Painter.
Beard.
Look the part.
Gin.
To excess.
Masterpiece.
Fragile.
For the rest.
Fierce.
Mock.
Softness.
Dimly.
Canvas.
Easel.
Fancy.
Stream.
Hear of.
Persistent.
Mingle.
Upturned.
Kettle.
Pull up.
Warily.
Low.
Stand out.
Wear away.
Twilight.
Lone.
Cling.
Merciless.
Call to.
Gas.
Stove.
sin.
Hand mirror.
Pillow.
Sit up.
Acute.
Be wet through.
Lantern.
Palette.
Flutter.